International TV Distribution Hall of Fame. John Lang, Crisscrossing the World with a RoboCop Promo Under His Arm by Dom Serafini. It was a big mistake to ask John Franklin Scott Lang, the founding general manager of the Los Angeles-based Rally LLC, how he managed to speak five languages, since he immediately embarked on a roller coaster type of reply. My mother was a constant traveler and lived in Italy, Spain, and Mexico. My father was a diplomat, the British consul in New York and later at the UN. The whole family was francophone. When I was 12, I told my mother I wanted to learn German, and she enrolled me in the Goethe Institute, a German school outside Munich. So it's really no surprise that Lang would end up in the international TV business. He started out at Warner Brothers Television Distribution in 1983 at age 27, and later worked at Orion Pictures in 1989 and at Rigel USA Incorporated in 1993. Now he's at Rally, a company he founded in 2009. In a 1990 sidebar article about Orion in the trade magazine Channels, Lang, then the president of the newly created division Orion Television International, was described as someone who crossed the Atlantic 18 times in his first year. The Orion story ended up being one of the last articles for the publication, which folded later that same year. Channels was founded by veteran industry journalist Les Brown in 1981, the same year that Video Age was created. But contrary to Video Age, Channels did not receive enough advertising support from the entertainment sector, and in 1985 was acquired by TV producer Norman Lear. Around 1990, Brown launched Television Business International, another trade publication with a name similar to Video Age's subtitle, The Business Journal of Television. Brown died in 2013 at age 84. But that was not the only time that Lang's name was associated with a publication linked to Video Age. Around 1990, Paolo Glicenti, then the head of Italy's RCS Video, a multi-million-dollar company backed by Fiat's Agnelli family, apparently decided to compete with Video Age by financing Moving Pictures, a small trade publication in the UK, which, after going through several ownership changes and relaunches, finally closed in 2012. More on Glicenti and Lang is coming up. The year 1990 was also when Orion signed a $175 million deal with Columbia Pictures for handling the international distribution for Orion's film and TV projects. However, Lang explained that it was for film and video only. That's when I launched a new separate division, Orion TV International. He would go on to commute between Orion's offices in New York City and Century City in Los Angeles in order to run the division. It is still unclear what the roles of Edward K. Cooper in 1986 and Ernst Goldschmidt in 1987 were. They were listed by Video Age as running Orion's international TV sales from New York City. But according to Lang, they were involved with Orion's movies before the Columbia deal. At Orion, Lang became acquainted with RoboCop, a 1987 movie later turned into a 1994 TV series. But let's proceed chronologically. When Lang started at Warner Brothers, his traveling was limited to the U.S. He'd moved to Warner Brothers from a job at the book club division of Germany's Bertelsmann in Chicago. Before that, he worked as a freelance photojournalist for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Playboy, living in New Haven, Connecticut. And before that, when he was just out of Yale University, where he studied French literature, he sold door-to-door personal care products for Combe Chemical. The young Lang was quickly educated in the art of television at Warner's offices in Chicago. There he learned how to read Nielsen and Arbitron ratings. After 3 months, he was ready to hit the road and was dispatched to Green Bay, Wisconsin, Rockford, Illinois, and Davenport, Michigan, to renew Warner's shows at local TV stations. In his first outing, Lang, apologizing for his foreign, British accent, managed to renew the shows and brought in $1.5 million. Before that, Warner's TV sales in the Midwest were less than $950,000 a year. He now recalls that what helped him was the fact that he didn't really know the business well, and instead of negotiating an ask-and-take price, as was the traditional practice, he only based the negotiations on the take price, which he got. After 2 years of eating hamburgers in small Midwestern cities where fast food eateries reign supreme, Lang was transferred to Warner Brothers headquarters in Burbank, California. It was 1985 when he first encountered the man, a.k.a. Charles D. McGregor, Warner Brothers' top gun for worldwide TV distribution. But before we delve into that meeting, let's digress. Video Age began to publish the industry's only who's who of international TV distributors in 1983, but McGregor refused to be listed until its 1986 edition, and in that edition he did not include Lang. He didn't add Lang until the 1987 Who's Who edition, and still Lang and other sales executives were never invited to the villa that McGregor had Warner buy in Acapulco, Mexico, where he entertained content buyers. "But I took the Warner jet once to fly to NatPe in New Orleans," Lang enthused. Now back to Lang's first encounter with the man. It wasn't an example of cordiality, with invectives such as, "What makes you think you can sell?" thrown at him by the veteran. However, it helped that McGregor knew Lang's brother-in-law, the late Joe Antello, who was married to his sister and who produced the At the Movies program for the Tribune Company. McGregor did not talk to or particularly like the press, even though he had a soft spot for this reporter's former boss, Sol Paul, and for the September 1976 edition of Paul's Television Radio Age. He even gave an interview to Paul about international sales when he was the executive vice president of the worldwide distribution at Warner Brothers Television. It was probably because of this aversion to the press that McGregor was not included in guides such as the International Television and Video Almanac and the revered Les Brown's Encyclopedia of Television, which included other executives such as the late Jim Marinen when he was a VP at ITC TV Distribution in Los Angeles. Unlike many other U.S. studio executives, McGregor never took a stand at MEEP TV, yet opportunistically took advantage of the cluster of buyers in Cannes by renting nearby hotel rooms to conduct business. But he rented a suite at the Lowe's Hotel, the venue for the Monte Carlo TV market. However, he'd refused to have Luciano Paluzzi, who at that time was working as an acquisition consultant for Silvio Berlusconi's TV networks, in meetings because the Italian-born former actress was married to Michael J. Solomon, who served as chairman of Telepictures first, then as president of Lorimar Telepictures. Not an easy person to deal with. The diminutive McGregor had joined Warner Brothers in 1961 when he was 34 years old. 15 years later, he was appointed president of worldwide TV distribution. Lang recalled, "Charlie had so much power at Warner Brothers. He reported directly to Steve Ross, the studio's CEO, because he generated lots of cash from TV licensing." McGregor left Warner Brothers in 1989 when the studio acquired Lorimar Telepictures and Solomon became president of international TV sales, and Dick Robertson became president of domestic TV distribution. That same year, Lang left Warner Brothers to join Orion. McGregor died in 2011 at age 84. While based in Burbank, Lang returned to crisscrossing the globe, his calling in life. Earlier, we left him traveling with his mother, but skipped a good chunk of his travelogue. Lang was born in Belgium, but moved to New York City when he was 2 years old. At age four, he moved to Helsinki with his mother and then to Nassau in the Bahamas. 4 years later, he was sent to the Harrow Boarding School in the UK, and it was then at age eight that he learned how to travel on his own, flying to Bermuda, Nassau, and then back to London for school. After high school, before starting at Yale in 1975, he first attended the University of Vienna for one summer, and then traveled to Geelong, a city southwest of Melbourne, Australia, where he formed a rock band and served as its lead singer. According to Lang, the band was good during rehearsals, but not as much on stage. When Orion entered Lang's life in 1989, the studio, founded in 1978 as a joint venture between Warner Brothers and four former executives at United Artists, was having great success. In 1982, it had severed its distribution ties with Warner and acquired Filmways, a studio based in New York City, where The Godfather's filming was done. A year later, Orion started a television production company that churned out shows such as Cagney and Lacey. In 1987, the studio produced the first money-making RoboCop movie. The following year, Metro Media's John W. Klug took full control of Orion with a 67% stock ownership after a battle with National Amusements' Sumner Redstone, who had secured a 26% stake in it before taking over Viacom. Meanwhile, Lang was having great success with international TV sales, aided by some luck, when he found his former associates from Bertelsmann in Chicago, now in Germany at Bertelsmann's RTL. Bertelsmann started as a shareholder of RTL, a free-to-air TV station based in Luxembourg, when it began in 1984 as RTL Plus. In 1988, the TV station moved to Cologne, Germany, and in 1997, Bertelsmann merged its UFA, a film company acquired in 1964, with CLT, the corporate owner of RTL, to form CLT UFA. By 1990, RTL was already viewed as a major competitor by other German media companies, and Lang's relationship with Bertelsmann was problematic, especially for the Kirsch Group, which, through its U.S. rep, the very influential Klaus Hallig, 1938-2013, went as far as supporting Lang when he founded Rigel, so that he didn't need to return to work at any other U.S. studio important to the Kirsch Group. The ceiling came crashing down in 1991 when Orion filed Chapter 11, Reorganization Bankruptcy, due to a slew of theatrical failures and no new network shows. Here's how Lang recalls it. "I was in Tokyo and had just negotiated a $30 million all-cash deal with Mitsubishi, but had to pay my own hotel bill as my corporate Amex card was denied." The same year Lang's contract expired in 1992, he accepted the position of chairman of Orion Pictures International while the studio was negotiating new financing, first with Allen & Co. and later with Goldman Sachs. Following corporate changes at Orion, Lang passed on a job at MGM to become CEO at Italy's RCS Video, reporting to Paolo Glicenti. And he moved to Rome, renting an apartment that was just a 15-minute drive from the company's offices. However, Glicenti refused to sign the final employment contract, and Lang took RCS Video to court in Milan and won a $200,000 settlement. That experience was recorded in a February 1993 article in Video Age. RCS Video, an enigma inside a puzzle. Coincidentally, the founder of the Italian law firm that represented Lang, Studio Cerulli Arelli, was from Teramo Giulianova, the same Italian town that this reporter hails from. 3 years earlier, Glicenti's RCS Video, later RCS Film and TV, which Italy's L'Inchiesta magazine labeled as antipatico, unpleasant, in 2018, financed the launch of what became a perennial, money-losing trade publication, Moving Pictures. But it was not strategic for a company such as RCS Video, which was already losing a $78 million investment into Carol Co. Pictures. After some other costly Hollywood mishaps, Glicenti left RCS Film and TV in 1984, and a year later it folded, with losses of $150 million. With the Italian job, no pun intended, gone, Lang leveraged his true love, RoboCop, to launch Rigel in 1993. And here's another Lang-esque story. RoboCop the series was initially produced in 1994 when Canada's Sky Vision Entertainment paid $500,000 for the rights. Ultimately, 23 episodes, a two-hour pilot and 21 one-hour episodes were made. Lang orchestrated that deal by persuading senior executives at Metro Media, Orion's corporate owner, who controlled the property, to let him buy the TV series rights to RoboCop, which they did. Coming to Lang's aid was Sylvia Kessel, the much-feared Metro Media CFO, who trusted Lang's advice since he'd earlier delivered on a past due and much-needed $28 million balance expected from Italy's Sikigori Group for a $35 million movie licensing deal. Using his dry British humor, Lang was even allowed at meetings to salute Kessel with, "What are you stirring in your cauldron today?" It usually elicited a cackle from her, being in an era when having a sense of humor was not a crime. In turn, Lang partnered with Sky Vision, which arranged for the funding to produce the TV series. Sky Vision then partnered with Reicher Entertainment, which put up $575,000 against domestic, U.S., distribution rights for a 12-year period. Lang retained international rights through Rigel, a company he formed in 1993. Rigel held international rights only as a Sky Vision agent. However, if ownership of Sky Vision changed, Rigel had first rights to acquire the RoboCop series. In 1996, Sky Vision was sold to J. Firestone's Fireworks Entertainment. In 1997, CanWest Global purchased Fireworks. In 2005, Content Film acquired CanWest Global. In 2017, Q Media bought Content Film. And ultimately in 2020, Q Media's library was sold to Quiver Entertainment, which allowed Rigel to acquire the worldwide rights to the RoboCop TV series for mid-six figures. In 2020, Lang's new company Rally remastered all 23 episodes in a 16:9 HD format. On a side note, Canada's J. Firestone, whose company Fireworks bought Sky Vision's assets, helped Lang in 1996 to finance the distribution rights of Pacific Blue, Rigel's first big TV series, which was produced by North Hall Productions. Interestingly, MGM, which acquired Orion in 1997, only retained RoboCop's trademark and its IP, but not the series, the three theatrical films, or the four TV movies, which are now controlled by Quiver Entertainment. This has been International TV Distribution Hall of Fame, John Lang, Crisscrossing the World with a RoboCop Promo Under His Arm, by Dom Serafini.